بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is معلمة شاكرة هانتا and inshallah on this beautiful Jumu'ah I will be your host for today. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to each and every one of our listeners. Post Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept each and every one of us and make this hour one of benefit and one of khair inshallah. Welcome to the program Hayatan Tayyiba. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this word tayyib and he speaks about it in the Quran so beautifully. And he explains to us the actual reality of the life of a mu'min. So when you look at this word tayyib, you have to understand the impact and the reason why we as Muslims and mu'mineen, we have to make the choice every day to understand the concept firstly and secondly, to always motivate ourselves to live lives that are pure, wholesome, lives of abundance and growth, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing this beautiful concept in the Quran, he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached two very beautiful concepts together. He has said that good deeds, عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ, living a life that is enriched with good deeds, allows you to live a life that is طيب. And what is this طيب? Allah says, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ. And حَيَات means not to just move around in this mundane humdrum that sometimes we find ourselves in. And subhanAllah, if you look at the world around us, the world is full of, at the moment, of a tone of complaining, of sadness. And it has been a very, very difficult, fatiguing year. But subhanAllah, the life of a mu'min is such that in every moment, when you attach amalu salih, good actions, to every moment of your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you a life that is energized. فَلَنُحْيَنَّ, we will give him such a life. And what kind of life that is? That is طيب. Now let us try to understand what is طيب. And overall, the ulama have focused us and have said to us that حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا is a life that is full of qana'ah, a life that is full of satisfaction. And subhanAllah, if you have a conversation with anyone at any given point of the day, you are focusing completely on, at the moment, there is the difficulty of no holidays, or there is the difficulty of petrol prices, or there's so many upheavals, and it's there, it's at you 24/7. So how do you then live a life that is so wholesome and so full of abundance and so full of khair that all of these massive tests and difficulties that come to you, they don't seem to affect you? You go through them and you understand them. And subhanAllah, in putting together this program every Friday, my focus was to delve into this word Hayatan Tayyibah and to ask each and every one of our listeners to think about your own life. A believer, the life of a mu'min is never the same as the life of anyone else. Our lives as believers is filled with this concept. Now let us look what the ulama explain how and what is this qana'ah, this satisfaction, this life that is so wholesome. And the first thing that they bring our attention to, that hayatun tayyibah is a life that your risk, your sustenance is something that is halal. And because your sustenance is halal, you find yourself very satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now if you look at our lives currently, we are all focusing on the fact that, you know, things are so expensive and life is so expensive and you have to work harder and things are so difficult and, you know, if you want something you have to take it out in credit and the system of South Africa and subhanAllah, the overall conversation seems to be that that there's no jobs for people, subhanAllah. Now, this Hayatan Tayyibah is a mu'min saying, yes, there are definitely all of these difficulties. Yes, definitely they are tests. Definitely things are difficult. SubhanAllah, just this morning we heard about the stop on the N3. So, and it can unravel you. But our focus in this program is the commitment to this Hayatan Tayyibah. And to see what Allah gives us once we start changing our mind frames and our outlooks in life, subhanAllah. So secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so firstly we focus on this rizqun halal, this halal risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in this world. But secondly, it's qana'ah. such a deep form of satisfaction of where you are and what you are doing. And funny enough, in our family at the moment, our WhatsApp groups are so full of beach pictures. And everybody's just lamenting the fact that all the holidays are cancelled. And everybody's sending messages around that, you know, it's because of the variant and it's because of... And yes, all of the world and what is happening in the world seems to affect us. But when you live a life of qana'ah, of satisfaction, you know without a doubt that you are exactly where you are supposed to be, and you are exactly not where you are supposed to be, because you understand that that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, this December, I have been planning for a month a reunion with my longtime friend, subhanallah. We haven't seen each other for 10 years, and she's coming down from the UK, and we have purchased gifts, and all of this, you know, preparation. She hasn't seen her family in 3 years. But subhanAllah, when the message came through that your flight is now cancelled, immediately she sent me a message. She said, you know, I'm so upset, but mashaAllahu fa'ala wa qaddar, I know that Allah has planned and has decreed to the best of His power, and He knows that I am supposed to be exactly where I am supposed to be. So Hayatan Tayyiba is developing this tool. This is not something that we have naturally. It doesn't mean that you understand qana'ah, you understand satisfaction. This doesn't mean that this comes to you naturally. So firstly, your risk becomes something that you are content with. Then you get this deep satisfaction in your life. And then, subhanAllah, you start to enliven your life. Every moment of your life is, how can I attach this to the ta'ah of Allah, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's the best, I think the most beautiful part of Hayatun Tayyiba, is when a believer starts asking this question, that we live such hurried lives, right? None of us live lives that we can say to ourselves that I'm going to take 10 minutes and I'm just going to sit down on the musalla, or I'm going to take 2 or 3 hours and I'm just going to make dhikr. Our lives are constantly moving. So Hayatan Tayyiba is taking your everyday life and giving your simple mundane actions a ruh, a spirit. And how do you do this? Is you place Allah and the obedience of Allah within every single moment, subhanAllah. And fourthly, the ulama have spoken to us and they have said that when you think about Hayatun Tayyiba, it is sa'adah. It is a deep ingrained sense of happiness that is permeating your mind and your soul. And if I ask you, oh listener, think about somebody that you know right now, or the people around you. Do you find that people are overall happy, or people are generally complaining and sad? And subhanAllah, life has been difficult. But we as believers have to always understand that sa'ada, that happiness and acceptance of where we are, should be something that we work on actively. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives you this Hayatun Tayyiba, one of the most beautiful aspects of Hayatun Tayyiba is when He takes your actions of ibadah and He moves it from routine to halawatul ibadah. This is my favorite part of this concept, that you can just read salah and you can perform salah and you can, you know, you have this rush that I have to, it's compulsory, I have to do it, I have to read Quran, I have to make my dhikr. But hayatun tayyiba means that you find a sweetness within every action of ibadah, subhanAllah. You can give charity and you do it with a full heart. You recite Quran and your soul is shaking because you are so affected by what you are reading, subhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gives you this ability to have such a life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it that you live between two things, that you live innaha aishul insan ma'al kifaya wal afiyah, that you live between everything is sufficient for me, I'm never moving into this moment of a want and I'm feeling despair. You are moving in this under this banner of afiyah, that wherever I am, I have this overall sense of well-being because I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with me, subhanAllah, right? So the itmi'nan, this sense of deep contentment that you have, that I walk under the fact that Allah is protecting me in every moment, and I have to develop this tool of becoming pleased with every moment, subhanAllah, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under this banner of Hayatun Tayyiba, He grants us well-being of our minds and a calmness, a deep sense of calmness of our body and our soul, subhanAllah, right? He makes it such that your homes become sukoon. The Arabic word for to live is sakana yaskun, which means to live. But sukoon means this tranquility. And most of us have houses that haven't transitioned into this house, this homes of sukoon, of tranquility. So when you have hayatun tayyibah, you gain homes that are full of tranquility and full of sukoon, subhanAllah, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you to a level where you gain complete happiness in trying to further your good deeds, subhanAllah, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes something very, very, very beautiful happen. He makes it such that constantly you are in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my beloved listeners, we have described and we are trying to figure out this hayatun tayyibah. And my hope and my desire is that inshallah, as you are all sitting down and everyone is relaxing now after Jumu'ah, subhanAllah, you all had a yummy Jumu'ah lunch. Most of you have had dal and rice. Some people have had to had soju with that. Some people had akni. Some people, everybody has a different preference. And you see the focus on our button and our stomachs and our tummies. Every one of us, every day, we are focused on it's lunch, it's Friday lunch. Where are we going to? Whose house are we going to? What are we going to be having? How are we going to be having this? But subhanAllah, just like the belly needs to be fed, and just like we have to focus on whether that food is tasty, or whether we are going to be going to this restaurant, or we're going to try out the steak here, or if somebody tells you that, you know, this is the most yummiest dal that you have ever purchased, and subhanAllah, your focus becomes, I also need that recipe, and I need to fill it. And we have mastered the art of developing our bellies and our taste buds. But our focus in Hayatun Tayyibah is to say that as a believer, we have a mind, we have a ruh, we have a qalb, we have a soul, we have a heart, we have skills that we have to develop, we have hobbies, we have to have passions. So a believer needs to be committed to say that I want to develop myself as a believer. I would love to live a life that is one of continuous development, subhanAllah, continuous growth, subhanAllah. So let me provide you a lovely analogy. Near our neighborhood, there are two houses, right? And this is a beautiful study in the contrast of two different types of people. Each property has a pond, okay? And each of the owners has built a little dock at the edge of this pool. Now, when you drive by and you are going through this beautiful green drive and you see this, it's spring or it's summer, and you can see comfortable chairs set out. One dock has some comfortable chairs and the other dock, it's the exact same vista in front of you. But the houses are similar in this respect. But in one aspect, they differ. One of those owners took the time and the trouble to install a circulatory fountain in his pond. And you know, that circulatory fountain is literally making the water move and making that movement and that haraka, the ripple effect. Now, the other neighbor decided that I do not want to expend this effort, and he refused, he didn't do this. So one pond sparkles in the sunshine and the other one turns green and stagnant. So my question to you is, which pond would you like to live beside? And whenever you, now as you picture this beautiful analogy in your mind, you have to understand something, that we as human beings, firstly, but mainly as mu'mineen, as believers, we are constantly interacting with the world. We are interacting with our ibadah. We are interacting with our salah, with our Quran, with our neighbors, with our children. And we have to ask ourselves, what kind of a pond am I interacting from? Is my stream a flowing stream, or is it a stagnant pool? And when you interact with the world, and you interact with the world based on the same knowledge that you've had for the last 10 to 15 years, your ibadah becomes stale. And subhanAllah, you start reacting to things in the exact same way. Once we stop learning, what happens to us as people is we start dying. And we are saying on this beautiful Friday afternoon, when everybody wants to relax and everybody wants to take it easy, we are saying that we are going to be focused on these different paths of a believer and the personal development where we are seeking out new knowledge, where we are seeking out answers, we are seeking out skills. We want to continuously improve our iman. We want to focus on the fact that if I say, have sabr, if I say to somebody, have sabr, have patience, did you learn how to have patience? If I say to someone, live under the banner of shukr, do you know how to implement shukr into your life? So what happens to us as believers is that we sometimes learn and we have this knowledge of iman. And subhanAllah, when we have this knowledge of iman, we now get into the slump and we are stuck in this point and we cannot move forward, subhanAllah. So we are focusing on how do I develop my skills? How do I develop my physical ibadah? How do I develop my spiritual side? How do I develop my non-physical ibadah? So, subhanAllah, when you are saying, Ya Allah, I want a hayatun tayyib, I want a wholesome, natural life, you could focus on, I need to go for holiday to run away from my life. My holiday plans are cancelled, so what am I going to do with myself? Or you could understand that life is in the little moments that you take every single day. The holiday that you have, the break that you have, is 2 weeks in a year, 1 week in a year. And subhanAllah, your everyday moments can become moments of joy, subhanAllah. So we want to focus on continuous learning. And continuous learning, what is this? What is this continuous learning? A lot of the fun and the satisfaction in life, and specifically in our jobs, comes to us from having a challenge and overcoming a challenge. We all think to ourselves that I would like a life where I just relax. I would like a life where I can just chill and I can just not have any responsibilities. But subhanAllah, when you do have that life, you find yourself needing a new challenge, needing something else to do, finding yourself not motivated. So complacency is the enemy of lifelong learning. And a mu'min is such a believer that it focuses on growth in every skill. And subhanAllah, our focus is how do we take the tool of shaitan. And the tool of shaitan is complacency. He wants us to focus ourselves into relaxing. He wants us to say that I will just make this couch comfortable and I will scroll mindlessly. What we need to ask ourselves is, how can I learn something new? How can I seek out new training? How can I connect with people who enrich my life? How can I use the books that I have in a way that is productive? I have 2 or 3 hours free every day. What can I do to build my mind? My ibadah, my salah is slumping. I find myself speaking to Allah in such a hurried way. How can I develop my salah? How can I grow the salah? Maybe I find myself overawed by the responsibilities in my life. Let me learn how to make lists. Let me learn how to journal. So a believer focuses himself or herself on how to be focused and driven. And it seems so funny that at the end of the year, when everybody wants to just rest and everybody wants to just take time out, and I'm saying to you, let us get motivated, subhanAllah. But the reality is that every single one of us, we want to live lives that when we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to ask ourselves, is our life ma'ishatan tanka? Is it narrow? Or is it a life of fulfillment? Is it a life that when you pass away, you feel that, Ya Allah, I have done something and I have fulfilled every skill set that you have given me? Inshallah, we'll go for a short break. Bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Hayatun Tayyiba on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Alhamdulillah, so we have focused our understanding and we have looked and explored the meaning of continuous development. And inshallah, my desire is to break the segment up into, first of all, leveling up our spiritual connection. Every week, inshallah, we want to learn a new skill and a new understanding, first and foremost, in attaching ourselves to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, inshallah, to a different skill that will build us as believers, as mu'mineen, inshallah. I hope every single one of you are sitting at home and you feel motivated and inspired, inshallah. Now, my beloved sisters, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, there are more than 55 different names for the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His beloved word in different ways. But most of us have learned the Quran when we were in school, when we were in madrasa. And right now, our Quran is something that we are very hurried and something that we find that we don't understand, we don't have this focus. Now, I have found that if you create a deep connection to the kalam of Allah, You find deep lessons that you didn't even realize you were looking for. Ata radiyallahu anhu wa rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, إِنَّمَا الْقُرْآنُ عِبْرٌ إِنَّمَا الْقُرْآنُ عِبْرٌ. The Qur'an is just a lesson. That is what the Qur'an is. It's a lesson. And most of us, in focusing on just reciting, we lose the beautiful lessons. So inshallah, I hope you will stick with me inshallah while we learn some beautiful, beautiful lessons from the Kalam of Allah every week in order to live a life that is more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a very fascinating concept in the Quran. He uses the word layta and la'alla. And both these words means perhaps, okay? So if I have to say to you, would you come tomorrow and you say, perhaps I'll do this. There's a sort of hope and this sort of relaxed, you know, feeling of, I do want you to come and I really would love you to do this thing. But Allah uses, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he uses the same word, perhaps, but in two different contexts. And he shows us something so beautiful, right? So Allah uses the word later, and he uses the word la'alla. Both have the exact same meaning. However, their understandings are very different. So when I say later, or when I say la'alla, later means something that's never, ever, ever going to happen. Whereas la'alla is something that I'm saying to myself that yes, hopefully tomorrow, inshallah, I'm going to try to do this. Most probably, I will be able to do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses the Quran with this word la'alla. And he always attaches it to the believers. And he attaches it to some quality that he wants us to get into our lives. Now, I'm sure you've come across this word in the Quran. And he is explaining to us how to ground our iman to very practical and achievable goals. Now, subhanallah, every single one of us, we have this understanding that the Quran is there for me to recite. But in reality, the Quran is there for me to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get a connection with Him. And when you go through difficulty and when you go through anything in your life, the Quran is your return and your way back to Allah. So Allah says in the Quran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ, that perhaps you may ponder. So Allah is saying to you, I give you these examples. I've brought the Quran to you. I've brought all these different ideas to you. Perhaps you may ponder. Perhaps you may think a little bit. Then at other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَرْجِعُونَ. Perhaps you will return. Maybe you will return to your Rabb. So subhanAllah, Allah is looking at your life and He understands that sometimes, you know, things take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we don't have the connection in our salah. We're not at the place where we would love to be. Maybe we were at a very high spiritual place at one point. And Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَرْجِعُونَ. Perhaps you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other places He says, لَعَلَّكُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. So like this, perhaps you may achieve humility. Perhaps you may be reminded. So He's saying to the believer that I know that iman is an ongoing project. Iman is never stable. There is not one human being on this planet that can say that I have achieved a high level of iman and I am satisfied with where I am. But what Shaitan does to us is that he promises us that you were at a certain place and you will never be able to get back to that place. So our first skill when it comes to understanding the Kalam of Allah is that we need to recite this word la'alla with this hope that when we see the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed so strategically in our lives, Allah has placed signs in every single part of our lives. Sometimes little things happen. It's all to redirect you back to Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَرْجِعُونَ, so that you return to your Rabb, subhanAllah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is redirecting us. He's grounding us. So most of us at home, we have lists, right? We have journals, we have lists. We have lists upon lists. Our lists have sub-lists, subhanAllah, right? And we know, I have to buy this, I have to do this, the kids' clothes are small, this is happening, that is happening. You know you've got, you know, programs, or you've got downwards, or whatever you have for months and months and ahead. Your ibadah needs to be something that you crown, that you make a concerted effort to say, I am here in my recitation. This is where I find myself lacking. You have to take a pen, take a book, and write down where you are in your ibadah. Write down where you are in your salah. Write down where you would love to be. Our deen is not based on hopes that have no basis. Our deen is based on little practical choices and decisions that we take every single day. SubhanAllah, you can say to yourself that, you know, I find myself rushing through my salah. But when you write it down, when you take time and you say, and you're speaking to Allah, but you're writing it down and you make it into an actionable list. Tomorrow I'm going to recite this surah and I'm going to find out a little bit about the meaning of the surah, so that your hopes become something that are tangible, that are actually moving you and motivating you to change, SubhanAllah. Now, this La'alla is telling you the life of a believer. A believer, very, very constructively, always makes muhasaba of where you are in your life. Always thinks, and don't lament. Shaitan loves it when we lament, when we say, oh, in Ramadan I was like this, but now I'm not there. What you need to do is to say, right, I have the December holidays in front of me. And yes, everybody wants to switch off. But I can say to myself, I have so many books I need to read. I have so much of Quran that I have to catch up with. Or I have to, and maybe not catch up, maybe I need to build a connection to my Quran. Maybe I don't have to read so much of Salah. Maybe I need to find, what am I saying to Allah in this Salah, SubhanAllah. Now let's look at the non-believer and the contrast to this. So this word La'alla is the hope that Allah has that we keep coming back to Him. And this hope that we take these reminders. But later, on the other hand, are words of despair. When you say to yourself, you say, Ya laytani, oh woe to me, if only I had done this. And that's what happens to most of us, SubhanAllah. We have this sort of idea that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and soon I'm going to do this. But you don't have that push and that motivation to say, right, I'm getting it done now. And then afterwards you find yourself lamenting. And when you focus your ibadah into these achievable changes and goals, then you move away from the hasad, the despair. And this despair, often you find that you speak to people and you say, I wish I had done this when I was younger, and I wish I had lived a life of this, like this. And it doesn't matter what happened in the past. At the moment, you have to say, I have this relationship with Allah and I have today. In my today, what is it that I want to target and what part of my iman do I want to develop? So, do not focus on the relationships of other people and their ibadah with Allah. Because what happens is, when you look at other people's relationships, then immediately Shaitan tells you, you're never going to get there. It's never going to happen. So we are all in a marathon and we are running towards Jannah in this marathon. So you have to understand that your preparation is not for one single race. It's not just, today I'm just going to push myself and I'm going to do all my ibadah. No. It's about looking in the mirror and saying to myself, maybe I'm a lazy person and I can't get up in the morning. Maybe I sleep too late at night. That's why I don't get up for Fajr on time. Maybe I read the Quran, but because I don't understand, I get bored, so I stop reading. So when you are very, very, very clear and very, very open with yourself, you look in the mirror and you say, I know my weaknesses. I am not looking right. I'm not looking left. I don't look at my neighbor. I look at myself and I say, I am at a certain point in my ibadah. And Allah and only I know the exact point of my ibadah. But I want to focus myself into small, achievable goals. And how can I get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look what happens. Look what happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says that your success has to be tied with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون. Allah says, say, there is no comparison between what is evil and what is pleasant. Even though many toxic and evil things may please you greatly, right? There's so many things that you think about and it's really bad for you. You know it's bad for you, but you love it. It's so lovely. But Allah says, La yastawi, it's not equal. Then He says, be conscious of Allah. Understand and develop this consciousness of Allah. O you who is endowed with sight, why do you have to develop this consciousness of Allah so that you can attain success? So Allah is giving you advice here, and every advice is to motivate, is to create a reminder, to create a desire for change in our actions. The Quran, what does the Quran do? The Quran prompts us. He knows we are Allah knows we are going to fall. So subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he do? He gives us advice in different points. He makes people come up to us and tell us things. And he allows us to say, let me develop myself. And on the other side of it, you get the sad, sad, sad state of a person who puts off and puts off and puts off the development of himself and his iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَعُضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. And on that day, they will be biting their nails, and that the oppressor will be sitting there. Oh my! Why didn't I just do it? Why didn't I just follow that path? In another, when Allah will give him his Quran in his left hand, what will he do? You will say, فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَهْ. If only I wasn't given my kitab. It would be better if I wasn't given my kitab. So subhanAllah, at that moment, when you're sitting down and you are focusing yourself and you are thinking to yourself that if only I had done this and this and this, it is a really, really sad moment for a person to come to that point and lament what could have been. But inshallah, my desire and my hope is that every single one of you, when you come to this word in the Quran, la'alla, look at the word after it and say and find out, what does Allah want from me? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to motivate in my life? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I hope inshallah that this will motivate a deeper and a closer connection to the kalam of Allah in these beautiful words and promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, in our last segment, we are now going to be focusing on leveling up and focusing on our skills and our knowledge. So a believer never ever focuses only on ibadah or only on skills or only on our spiritual self. A believer is one who lives a life of balance, a life that you know that if my heart is not being recharged, if my mind is feeling unmotivated, my ibadah is affected. Is definitely affected. So I have to say to myself, how can I balance every single part of my life? I cannot live a life that is so full of ibadah that I forget that I need to make ta'amul with people, I have to deal with people, I have to be kind to people. So today, inshallah, we are going to focus on upgrading our skill sets. And subhanAllah, the reason I chose this topic is only because I've been having a few interesting conversations, and I love to have conversations with people, inshallah. So subhanAllah, people have been speaking to me and telling me that some people say to me that, you know, they only know WhatsApp. I don't know Instagram, and I don't know the rest of the world, like, you know, the online world. It's so scary. I don't understand it. And other people are so into the Instagram and online world that they say to me that, oh, you know, WhatsApp is for the old aunties and the older people, subhanAllah. But you as a mu'min have to understand something. That using your phone is something that you do very, very often. Your cell phone is in your hand constantly. You keep moving. If I look at my little boy, as much as I try to keep the phone away from him, he takes his tiny little thumb and he tries to put it onto my hand and then he tries to open it up. But subhanAllah, we are living in a world where our phones are part of our lives. Now, what we have done is that some of us are on WhatsApp. Or some of us on social media, and what happens is we only use our phones for those things. And this then leads us to look at stories, to look at other people's lives, and to not allow us to be productive, to not move under the banner of Hayatun Tayyiba. And what is Hayatun Tayyiba? It's a productive life. So if I am mindlessly scrolling through my phone, if I am going through my feeds mindlessly, without choice and without action, my phone now just becomes a tool for me to take me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, I can use the same device to live a life that is productive, that benefits me, subhanAllah, right? So, what the first and the most important thing that you have to do is, you have to clean up your home screen. And this is something that I want us to focus on. How do I use my phone for productivity? Take all the social media apps and place them on the third or fourth page. On your main page, make sure you have a calendar and you have your calendar and your contact list or your list page, your list app that you are using. Place it in the main part of your phone. When you open your phone, you need to see things that are going to motivate you to do stuff. You need to see things that are going to motivate change in your life. If you are looking, for example, at you, for example, on my main page, I have my Al Maktaba app, because every day I love to open it up and to read something, to make sure I'm making sure that I'm building my mind and my skills. So if I go and I say to myself, I want to read an article that motivates me, if that article is in some archive that I don't know where it is, I'm going to end up on WhatsApp and I'm going to scroll through it mindlessly. So you have to make sure that your main page is very, very clean. Secondly, or thirdly, close your chats that you have completed. Demarcate it. Otherwise, your phone becomes this place that it's too much to handle, or you're just sitting on your phone and then you're going through it for hours and hours and hours. One important skill that we all have to bring into our lives is go onto your WhatsApp stories and your Instagram stories. If you're on Facebook, on your Facebook stories, mute accounts that you do not agree with. If somebody is placing music in your feed, make sure that you mute them. You don't have to delete them. Mute them so that you don't see them. You don't see those kind of things. Sometimes you find yourself listening to an ayah of the Quran, and the next story, the next fleet or tweet or stories or whatever it is, suddenly you find somebody laughing hilariously with some TikTok, subhanAllah. This decreases our iman and affects us. You don't even realize it's affecting you, subhanAllah. Make sure that you have some kind of Islamic app that is constantly in your mind, when it's in front of you, whether it is your English translation of the Quran. When you listen to an ayah or you hear an ayah, make sure you are taking that ayah and you're placing it into a file. And this is something so important, your list-taking app. When you find something motivational, copy it and paste it and place it in there. Make a file, make a folder, and say, these are the things that motivate me. On the days when your iman is in a slump, use those to motivate you. Go to it, open your folder and read those things, so that you're not going onto Instagram or you're not going onto WhatsApp and then looking at other people's lives and flitting through stories that make no sense, subhanAllah. Understand something very, very important. When you go on it to Instagram, you are entering the marketplace. Somebody is selling you something. So you need to say to yourself, let me not be mindless in who I'm following. My follow affects the follow of the second person. My like affects the like of another person. So subhanAllah, you as a believer, you might like something and you might think, oh, this was so funny. But that thing may have music in it, or that thing may have something that is taking us away from the ta'a of Allah. So the skill that you need to learn is to like and to follow accounts that create benefit. You have to ask yourself, what are the things that I like in my life? What are the things that, if you like, for example, painting, or you like writing or journaling, or you have a believer is never, ever, ever focusing only on ibadah. Ibadah in our relaxation, ibadah in our skill set is something that we have to focus on. So subhanAllah, when you are following something, somebody, how do you make sure that you are not just forwarding something without taking 4 seconds to stop yourself and ask yourself, do I agree with this? Why did this person post this thing? For what is the reason that this person actually decided to do this? One very, very important thing to understand is, if you are on Instagram, you are choosing the people that you follow. Choose people that align to the things that you like. Whereas on WhatsApp, you are not choosing. Those are just people that you randomly know. And sometimes you tend to get up and do it so unconsciously that you start moving. And I know if I have to go through my WhatsApp stories, I start off in South Africa and I end up in Barbados, subhanAllah, my friend over there. Sometimes I go to Trinidad. Sometimes I'm in the UK, because we know people throughout the world. The world has become so small. And then because you are now looking at stories one after the other, there's no demarcation in your mind. And you start your day with your mind full of all of this information. So make the active choice to say, these are people that I would love to see their stories, so I'm going to mute the ones that I don't want to. SubhanAllah, something important to do is place news apps on your phone and only see these news apps. Don't allow it to come into your feed at all times, because this creates this feeling of despair and sadness, subhanAllah. And one important, important thing that we have to understand is, how do I use my own platform? You may think to yourself, I don't have any followers, I don't have anyone, but subhanAllah, just by saying that the adeenun nasiha, the deen is beneficial advice, I will use the little 5 or 6 or 10 or 300 people that read my stories or follow me, I will use it to motivate. This turns us away and saves us from su'udhan. And su'udhan is that little niggling thought that hits your mind. And what does it do? It makes you look at stories and judge other people, subhanAllah. So for today, my beloved sisters and brothers in Islam, alhamdulillah, we have focused on something so important. Hayatan tayyiba. May Allah grant every single one of us a life that is full of motivation, a life that allows us to choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build our continuous development in our iman, in our a'mal, in our skills, and most importantly, in our mindful interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khaira wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.